Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, State Senator and Dr. Siobhan Donovan has been very good to us and joined the show for the last, 2 months on Monday. And she is back with us today. Good morning to you, Senator Donovan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, John. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm wondering whether I should brace for a huge uptick in infection rates and thus hospitalizations and deaths after the protest of the last couple of weeks where people didn't social distance and people did not wear masks. There was so much attention on how this virus has negatively impacted black and brown people, and then the leadership of the city decided to allow black and brown people to break every curfew, every law, and get together. Objectively, take the race out of it, take the politics out of it, as a physician, as someone who's studied the data, do you have a prediction or a thought about what we might see?
I don't know if I have a prediction, but my thought is, if we don't have a spike, mm-hmm. what's holding us back from opening everything up and sitting next to each other in restaurants at 100% capacity?
Right.
And the other thing I'd say is that, the good news for us is I think we'll be able to identify that it was that kind of social activity as opposed to phase two, because that all kind of happened a full week before phase two opened up on Friday. So I guess my concern is always, having talked to a lot of businesses in my community, two things. One, we talked about last week, they need some sort of plan from the state. They need to know, when does phase three likely to happen, with the understanding that there may be things that disrupt that, because businesses need to have business models and they need predictability. They need to know when to hire their employees. Right. Camps need to know when to fill their numbers. But I think we'll know, the state, the reason that the closest they can open to a new phase is 3 weeks is because this has an incubation of up to two. And 2 weeks later, if you're, over the following 5 days, if you're not really seeing a spike, then we're okay.
I went and got my physical, my annual physical. It was the only time slot I could get was Friday at 10:15, right after I got off the air. So I just, sped to the doctor's office, and I've asked them to do the antibody test. I assume in the next couple of days I'll find out whether I have had the Wuhan coronavirus after my trip on a big cruise ship and, New Year's and everything. Are you seeing people getting that kind of information back, and it is impacting their assessment of how, numerically, whether we've going to find out that a lot of people in this community have already had it and didn't go to the hospital and didn't even come close to being seriously ill, or do we have a perspective on that data-wise?
I don't have any access to that data now, and I don't have any personal experience. My patients are not really asking for the antibody test, and I still I need more certainty before I know how to use or process those results. We really need
whether it inoculates you.
Whether it inoculates you, how accurate the test is. Doing an antibody test is not a universal standard. Some antibody tests seem to have more reliability than others. So you could test and say it's negative, but you're positive. I think that's more likely than a false positive. I don't know. We need a structured way to see how many people in the population have had it. And, there have been a couple little studies that I've seen done, and they've been so not consistent. In one area, there were 60% of the population that were positive, and another, there was only 10. So none of those in Virginia. So we'll have to see.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're keeping your eye on the ball here when it comes to these business owners who have been shut out for months and are on the verge of going under, that we not get distracted by the latest news cycle and, you know, just kind of leave them with their doors shuttered while they beg for help. And I think last week could be very distracting from that, and I appreciate that you're not letting that happen. Having said that, can I ask you your reaction as an elected official to the protest and the violence and looting and fires in the city of Richmond? I mean, fortunately, you're outside of the city of Richmond. Does any of your district cut into Richmond at all? Or?
It doesn't. I'm Henrico and Hanover.
In Hanover. Thank goodness for that.
Yes. I would say, you know, I am deeply opposed to any lawlessness, mm-hmm. period. And I think there are constructive ways that you solve problems. That's why I ran.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that I agree there are systemic disadvantages in the way our system is set up. And I've talked to you about that before. I talk about the social determinants of health and the zip code data from VCU. I don't know how we've been looking at that for all those years. I think I'm the only one that ever talks about it down at the General Assembly. But there's a terrible systemic disadvantage. If you can be born into one zip code in the same city and die 20 years sooner than somebody born into another zip code because of the social determinants, and those are things like safety, housing, nutrition, education. We know the two ways people escape poverty is to get a good education and to buy a home are two of the biggest things. And how can we say that it's okay to create a situation where people can't get an education that can help them undo poverty when they're living in government housing and that's the only school we ever let them go to? It's not okay. So I'm a strong advocate for fixing the system and making sure that people can indeed all have a chance to achieve the American dream. But lawlessness is not a way to do it. It saddens me. I think I don't understand why we aren't all on that same page in a loud way, because I think you can't find where the truth is if you don't have a consistent way of analyzing data. And the data here is what police officers do when they're lawless is completely unacceptable and particularly egregious because they're there to protect us. But citizens can't be lawless either, and they can't burn other citizens' businesses and public property. And so I want to solve this problem. The problem's there. The data supports the problem's there. Let's solve it constructively.
Yeah. Well, the one thing the data probably doesn't show is the individual motivation of people and whether they – I mean, I've been surprised in my life with some of the folks that I've interacted with. They don't buy into the American dream. So what you and I would say or offer as solutions are completely rejected out of hand because that's just not something they want to do. So when I hear that, I think, you know what, I don't know how to help you if I can show you data that shows what will move you from point A to point Z and make your life better, but that's not something you're interested in and you hate me for bringing it up and call me a racist for bringing it up, call me a terrible person, unsympathetic person. I mean, what do I do
but
with
that's
that?
That's a variable we can't control.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. I mean, the American dream is in place for people who want to achieve it, but it should never be denied to anybody. And
Well, that may be the point. Is it being denied? You know,
I think
structurally denied.
Yeah, I think it is. If you look at the poverty rates and you look at it, what the percent of poverty has been the last many decades, it's really almost unchanged. And the key is that, you know, the system was not designed to help people really find a way to achieve the American dream, which I think everybody should be able to. I think that's the noble experiment we have in the United States. We shouldn't have obstacles to that are not the, you know, your own. And so the systems were set up, the support systems we have, to make sure people didn't die from poverty, but they were never set up to make sure people could overcome it. So when your system doesn't have the right goals in mind, like, you know, I've sat in on so many conferences and I hear the Department of Social Services and they say our number one goal is to help people get off of support. And I'm like, well, where are your metrics then? If that's your goal, how are you measuring that? We honestly have not set up systems. There are ways we can set up systems so that the people who, you know, really want a bite at the apple get to have it. I can't stand the thought that you know, you could be born into poverty and never have a chance to get out.
Well, we will pick that conversation up, and I always appreciate you coming on and talking through both the medical component and the political and social component. Dr. Siobhan Donovan, State Senator from Henrico and Hanover, thank you.
Thanks, John.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.